Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Donna Crow. You're listening to Fountain of Life Healing School. And we have a special guest today. We're trying to have a special guest today. We're having trouble getting him through. He's calling all the way from the UK. So we're hoping that this is going to work. I'm just going to tell you that this program is about garlic. That might sound like a mild-mannered kind of program, but this is not. This is an explosive information. It's radical, remarkable, amazing information. And I'm excited that you're here. Hopefully we can pull this off. Before I even get started, I want to basically say that neither I nor Peter are doctors. I have training, you know, at Global College of Natural Medicine. I have training in natural medicine, but I'm not a therapist. Hold on. Peter's, like, on the other line here. Hold on. Let me see if I can figure out how to do this. Peter, I don't know that we're going to be able to get you to come through. I think if you try to call the program number again, and let's see if we can get you in that way, because I don't know. All right. Try that again. Thank you.
Okay. No problem. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay. So, as I was saying, I'm not a doctor. Peter's not a doctor. But, you know, we both have training in natural medicine. We're not here to prescribe. You know, this is an educational program. You know, this is not intended to replace the advice of your doctor or your personal physician. This is an educational program. You are free as an adult in America to educate yourself and make an effort to help yourself improve your own health, and especially with natural means. You know, there are natural products on the planet that God created for us, that work for us, that work well for us, that are compatible with our body, and garlic is one of those things that's just supernatural powerful. So hold on, I'm going to see if I can get Peter in here real quick. Hold on. All right, let's see. Peter, can you hear me?
I very much can, yes. Thanks, Donna.
We did it. This is perfect. Excellent.
Oh, great. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly, and there doesn't seem to be any lag either. So I want you to
sit quiet.
Well,
you just wouldn't believe that I'm sort of 5,000 miles away, would you really?
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm going to ask you to sit tight here just for a second, and I'm going to introduce you officially.
Oh, well, thank you very much indeed.
All right. So I want you to know that Peter is considered one of the top experts on garlic worldwide, okay? He is a leading authority in the medicinal benefits of garlic. He's written a number of books, the Totally Garlic Fact Book, the Complete Garlic Handbook, Allison, The Heart of Garlic. He's written numerous articles. He's been on television and radio literally around the world. More places than I could list. It would take up, you know, a good portion of the program to tell you everything that this man's done and been involved in. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to garlic. And Peter doesn't know it, but he helped me to help a woman save her own life. And I'm going to tell that story real briefly, and then I'm going to let Peter cut loose. 4 or 5 years ago, I was doing some research on garlic. For some reason, you know, I say for some reason, I believe it was God, I suddenly wanted to know more about garlic. And so I went researching, and I found this website called the Garlic Mistral. And on there, it mentioned that garlic was extremely effective against MRSA, which MRSA is not really a word. It's an abbreviation for, well, initially it was methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, and it's become more than just methicillin-resistant. It's considered multi-drug resistant. It's a form of staph infection that, you know, normal pharmaceuticals are not being able to deal with, and it was, at that time, it was a very scary thing, and even now, the numbers are that more people die of that every year than they do of HIV and AIDS. And so it's a big deal. And I personally know people that it has affected. I know people who have died from it. And so when I saw that garlic was extremely effective against this, I was pretty excited about that. And so I, you know, when I see these things, I tuck them away in my heart and mind. And it was not more than just a week later, a woman called me. Someone had sent her to our school to see if we had any information that might be helpful to her because she had MRSA. And this lady, it was just terrible. She had it. The only place she didn't have it was her face and her feet. Her entire body, you know, ankles to scalp, was covered in this. She was breathy. I mean, she was close to death. Her tissues were swollen and cracked and pussy and oozy and bleeding and scratching and itching and burning. And she was miserable, and she'd been to the doctor. She's been to UC Davis, you know, a place where they're known for doing stuff that nobody else can do. They couldn't help her. Same thing, they had sent her home. And so she said, you know, I don't know if you can help. Do you know anything about MRSA or anything that helps it? And I said, well, yes, I do, you know. So I, you know, sent her to the garlic mistral. She got information there. She began to do high-dosing garlic. We had read about a woman at the same time who had a viral infection. This lady was in her 80s and was had been treated for a year for this viral infection, and finally the doctor said, we've done everything we know to do, we can't help you, so they sent her home, you know. She had read that garlic was antiviral, so why she did this, I don't know, but she took 43 cloves of garlic a day for 3 days, and she cured herself. So this other woman with the MRSA, you know, she had that information and the information from the garlic mistral that it was effective against MRSA. So she thought, well, I'm going to get as many garlic cloves in me as I can. She was only able to get about 24 cloves a day, and it was upsetting to her stomach. She finally figured out she could mix it with yogurt and that would work. She immediately began to have relief and over a few months' time completely eliminated this infection from her body, which is wonderful news, and I wanted to do a broadcast just on that alone because the thought of people having limbs amputated or dying from something that garlic can get rid of is just mortifying to me. It's just horrifying, and so I wanted to do a broadcast just on this. And so in the process of wanting to, like, sort of update myself, I went searching on garlic again and found out that there's actually a capsule that you can take now. That one capsule equals 36 cloves of garlic, and this capsule is being proven effective against MRSA. Not just MRSA, but a multitude of other things. So Carolyn, I can tell you, would have gladly taken a couple of pills rather than to be taking all these raw cloves. You know, she was thrilled that she could do raw garlic and it healed her, but if she could have done some capsules and been healed, she'd have been even happier. So in the process of this, I ended up hooking up with Peter, and I really didn't know about this whole full circle thing until I got his biography, and it found out that the garlic mistral that I had gone to initially to find out about garlic was his website. And so I feel like there's sort of this serendipitous thing happening here. And so so I'm going to just open the mic up now to Peter and say, Peter, welcome. Thank you so much for being a part of this broadcast and being here all the way from the U.K.,
Well, thank you very much, and what an amazing story to think that you went full circle, and that is incredible, really.
It really is. It really is incredible
it
to
is.
Me. It's just thrilling, and I just want to thank you for the website that you put up and for that information being out there and being available. I can guarantee you that it's very unlikely that this woman would be alive right now if it wasn't for your website, you know, so you helped save someone's life.
That's fantastic, and to be honest, that's something we've been doing now for some years, and we are beginning to make waves now here in the UK. We've even got some hospitals buying material from us as their product of choice for MRSA infections. So we are beginning to convince, you know, the medical doctors that there is something in this stuff and that it's worth looking at, and certainly my own group, We've pioneered the testing of raw garlic against MRSA infection. And, of course, I led the team that invented stabilized allicin, which was the way in which we were able to capture all the benefits of fresh raw garlic without the downside of stinky breath and upsetting his stomach and wrecking your esophagus and all that sort of thing. So
yes,
the capsules now are quite a step forward.
Yeah, I understand it's a water process that enables you to have to isolate the active ingredient. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's quite clever, actually. There's a little bit of super chemistry in there. I'm a biochemist by training, and the clever bit really is if you take a bulb of garlic and split that into cloves, inside a clove there's an enzyme called alanase enzyme, and that's right in the central core of every clove of garlic. And surrounding that central core, in every single cell in the rest of the garlic clove, is a sulfur chemical called allein. And these two chemicals are what's known as garlic's natural defense mechanism. So, for example, if you grow garlic in the backyard, it may get attacked by a fungus in the soil or a virus or a bacteria or a pest. And basically what happens is these two superheroes, they break out of their cells and come together, and the first thing they release is allicin. And everybody agrees on that, you know, manufacturers, marketers, scientists, etc. So we know the basic chemistry of garlic is that these two agents react with each other, and the first thing they release is allicin. Now, allicin is incredibly unstable, and so I was very fortunate in that I was able to lead a team of scientists and chemical engineers who were able to stabilize the allicin. And that happened for the first time just over 12 years ago. It seems incredible now that it was such a long time ago, but it was. And somebody in my team said, why don't we just use water as a solvent? Because we'd used all sorts of other things during this process, and nothing had worked really very well. And so by using water, we were able to flush out the allicin from the garlic as it was being crushed, and this allowed two things to happen. First of all, it meant that all of the alanase enzyme and the allein could keep reacting and produce more and more and more allicin. And normally in these reaction vessels, you would only get a conversion rate of about 4%. Now, our technique allows us to convert 97% of all the allein into allicin. So it's a very, very, very efficient process. But the other really cool thing about flushing the allicin out with water is that you dilute it, and you dilute it down to such an extent that the liquid becomes a stable liquid. And by that, what I mean is that it comes down to a concentration where it's completely stable, so we can leave a bottle of it on your desk in front of the microphone. We can leave it there for a year, and it'll be exactly the same when we come back a year later. But the important thing is that at that concentration, it was incredibly biologically active. And as you rightly said right at the top of our discussion, we've now tested stabilized allicin against more than 350 strains of Staphylococcus aureus, many of which were MRSA, or i.e. methicillin resistant, and many of which were multi-drug resistant. And all of them, without exception, have been completely blown apart by the stabilized allicin. Now, over that period of time, we've also experimented by adding other things in, and we've come up with the best combination that we've ever produced, which is allicin and vitamin C. And that combination is absolutely remarkable in what it can do for human health. Everything from viruses to funguses to bacteria, parasites, all of these things can be removed from the body with consummate ease. And we've spent the best part of 7 or 8 years now publishing clinical research to prove that. So we're in a very interesting position, because we still have a lot more work to do, but we can now at least talk about the major benefits and advantages of taking an encapsulated, stabilized allicin instead of having to eat lots and lots and lots and lots of raw garlic, which can, of course, upset your tummy.
Absolutely. So the vitamin
C... like a potted history for you. I hope that was okay.
Yeah, that was wonderful. It's wonderful. So the vitamin C is even potentiating it even further.
Exactly. It synergizes with the allicin. So in the biochemistry lab, when we look at what are known as zone sizes, i.e. how big are the zones of bacteria that are killed, when you add in the vitamin C, our product, which is called LEC, is absolutely potentiated significantly. So the zones are much bigger than when you use just plain stabilized allicin. And vitamin C has minor activity, but nothing to talk about. But the two together seem to synergize and allow a much better killing ratio across a massively wide cross-section of bacteria, viruses, and fungal infections.
Well, what I also understand, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I also understand is that unlike an antibiotic, the bacteria do not become immune to this.
Yep, that's absolutely right. There's two things there. First of all, it's very unlikely that bacteria could become resistant to allicin. The reason for that is we know exactly how it works. We know that the allicin is a small molecule, so it can actually penetrate the cell wall of invasive bacteria, like an E. coli, for example, or a salmonella, or an MRSA. So it actually gets into the cell wall and prevents the bacteria from releasing proteins and enzymes that it needs to replicate. So I call it a smart molecule. It's very clever. Antibiotics, on the other hand, are much bigger, and they tend to rely on sticking on the outside of these bacteria on what are known as receptor sites. Now, the bacteria are very, very clever. So what they will do is they will move those sites around when they see an antibiotic that they're familiar with, and that's the way they build up resistance to that antibiotic. So when you talk about the MRSA strains, these bacteria are basically resistant to pretty much everything. There are basically two compounds left in the microbiological world, if you like, that can kill an MRSA infection. One is a drug called vancomycin, which is so powerful and so toxic to the human body that you have to measure the blood levels in the patient every 15 minutes. Because
if they
get out of control, they will kill the patient much quicker than the bacterial infection ever would. The other agent is the one we're talking about today, and that's the stabilized allicin with vitamin C. It's incredible that we have a material that is seen as the number two and really almost the number one in terms of being able to treat resistant bacterial infection.
That's amazing. That is amazing. So the beauty of this is it can't become resistant to it, and it can't. Taking garlic for MRSA will not create yet another superbug. It's not perpetuating the problem.
It's definitely not perpetuating. And, of course, being a natural product, I mean, you can certainly eat lots of garlic. I'd always counsel people to eat more garlic in their diet, definitely. If you look at populations that eat more garlic, they have lower rates of stomach and esophageal cancer. They have lower rates of cardiovascular disease. And they have lower rates of infectious disease. So it always makes good sense to add more garlic into your diet. And I'm a garlic lover, as you could probably gather. So
yeah.
I would always say to people, don't worry, eat a bit more garlic if you can. But obviously, if you're in a situation where you have an active infection or you're worried about going into a hospital or a care home or into an environment where you think you might catch something, pick up a bug, for example, then that is where the capsulated product would be the best way forward, because we've learned over the years that not only does it kill fungus, virus, bacteria, and parasites, but it also protects your immune system by boosting it a little bit and giving you what I call a ring of confidence. So basically it's helping your own immune system in the background to prevent you from becoming ill in the first place. Now, I'm the living example of that because I'm a diabetic. Type 1, insulin dependent. I've had it for more than 40 years. And before we invented this stuff, I would always, always catch a cold, October, November time, you know, into the fall when the winter months are coming. And I would be ill for maybe 7 to 10 days. Blood sugars would go crazy. And I would be really, you know, quite miserable. But since we invented stabilized allicin, I can be absolutely honest with you and say that I have had two colds in 12 years. And I'm a guy that goes all around the world. I mix with lots of different people. I go around training people all over the world, and I mix with large groups of people who obviously carry infection. You only have to, of course, get on an aeroplane and have somebody sneeze in front or behind, and, of course, you will all get covered with whatever they sneezed out into the air conditioning system, and that's inevitable. And so a lot of people take our products now for preventing infection as well as treating an active infection. So it's a wonderful preventative as well as a curative.
Yes, so we've been talking about the MRSA. So it's not just that particular staph infection that this is effective against. Is it pretty much every bacterial?
It's pretty much broad spectrum, Don. I mean, you can look at chest infections, which tend to be Streptococcus or Staphylococcus. You can look at people who would believe they might have something called emphysema, where they get a build-up on their lungs at night when they go to sleep. And in the mornings, they'll wake up, and when they become upright, they'll cough, and out will come, you know, a sputum or a discharge. If that is green or yellow, then it's a 99% surety that that's a staphylococcal infection, which is Staph aureus. So obviously the Allicin C kills that really, really easily. So we've had a great deal of success with chest infections. We've had a great deal of success with stomach upsets and stomach infections. I mean, a lot of people don't ever bother to report that they get an upset tummy. But obviously if you get diarrhea or you get vomiting, then again, taking the stabilized Allicin with vitamin C is going to get rid of that really, really quickly. But you are right. We've spent a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of our research effort on looking at MRSA, and we've been really remarkably successful. We've had a paper published every year since 2004 on MRSA or related infection. And I'm not kidding. We had a paper published, I think it's 3 years ago now. Time flies. But that was the first 52 case studies of patients with open wounds that couldn't be healed in hospital, so they were sent home. Some of them didn't have wounds, they just had this chest-type infection that I've talked about. But all of them were releasing a pus, because MRSA is known as a pus-producing cocci. So what that means is that when it's eating up your healthy cells, it has to release a toxin, which basically causes a pus as it eats up your healthy cells and starts to make you ill. So that has to come out somewhere. So it'll either come out through the wound if you've got a wound, it'll come out through your mouth if you've got a chest problem, or it can come out now as what's known as community-acquired MRSA, which, as its name suggests, you can pick up in the community. And in your country, in the United States, it's incredibly common now for people in institutions, for people in sports halls, for people in environments where lots of people are together, that people pick up this community-acquired MRSA. And in fact, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta is quite worried about this, because there aren't that many treatments, as we've already discussed. And if you get a strain that is, you know, basically non-treatable, then you really do have to do something about it. Otherwise, it can overcome the body and cause a serious infection. And you know, that's what we need to try and avoid. So really, I would suggest that almost anybody who's listening today would benefit from going on to a course of the Allicin C product and staying on it all year round, really. So from my point of view, we're helping to protect people as well as helping to treat them if they get sick.
Yeah, and I feel very passionate about it, getting this information out. You know, it's not just an uncomfortable experience for people. People are dying of this, and it's entirely curable, and it's easy to cure. You know, I just heard of a young man in the state of Virginia, a high schooler, who contracted MRSA and was dead within a very short period of time, and it's just so wrong, you know. So I'm really glad.
We had the same experience here in the UK. A young man went into hospital with a, I think it was an ingrowing toenail. And, you know, all you've got to do is basically cut that out, and you go home in a couple of hours. Sadly,
yeah.
he caught a MRSA infection and died within 6 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
So once it gets into the body, it can be incredibly powerful. And that's something that obviously everybody wants to avoid. So most people in this country, in the UK, they like to take this stuff, particularly if they know they're going in for a simple operation or
yeah.
a more complex one, as a
yeah.
way of protecting themselves against picking up anything from that environment, which can obviously harbor bacteria.
Absolutely. I would never have anyone that I know go to the hospital without this, personally. So, you know, you mentioned diabetes, you mentioned cardiovascular disease. I mean, what are some of the other things that garlic is beneficial for? I recently was reading that garlic lowers blood sugar because it blocks the insulin sites, I think, in the liver or something like that.
That's quite right. There are three or four papers now on blood sugar control using garlic in various forms. At the moment, we have a saying that the jury is still out on this, because
right.
one or two are positive and one or two are negative. So it's not the most efficient way probably to use garlic in a diabetic. But what you will obviously understand is that diabetics like me have a 3 or 4 times increased risk of cardiovascular disease. And if we pick up any type of infection, that can really wreck our immune systems, because we have a weakened immunity anyway, because we're already dealing with the diabetes and the fact that the endocrine system is almost out of control, certainly in type 1 diabetics. In type 2, the situation is rather different. A lot of those patients can be controlled by diet and exercise and losing weight, and all of those things are beneficial for preventing cardiovascular disease, and also, we believe, for preventing diabetes in the first place. So all of those things should be definitely taken on board. But by adding in plenty of garlic into your diet, you know, put it into a smoothie in the mornings. It's lovely, you know, with some carrot and broccoli and parsley and things like that. Add in a couple of cloves of garlic and mix it all up, and it tastes fantastic. So I'd always say, you know, eat as much as you can. To give you an example, over here in the UK, we eat quite a lot more garlic now in our diets than we ever used to, but we're still way, way, way behind compared to other parts of Europe. So, for example, in France and Italy and Spain, they on average eat 10 times as much garlic in their diet as we do in the north of Europe, and the same figures apply to a lesser extent in the US. So you guys are certainly eating more garlic, but there's no reason why you can't eat a little bit more. And obviously, you know, if you don't like the taste or the smell or the burn from cooking or eating raw garlic, and I would always say, you know, be careful if you're going to eat raw garlic, because it is very aggressive to the back of the throat and to the esophagus, and you certainly don't want to end up with a weakened endometrium in your esophagus, because you'll end up with reflux disease. So
yes.
be careful with raw garlic. If you basically crush it into a glass of your favorite tipple or juice, whatever that might be, it might be juice, might be water, wine, or whiskey, what you do is you partially stabilize the allicin. And by the time you get to the bottom of the glass, you'll be amazed at how easy it is to chew the rest of the garlic that's left in the bottom. It won't burn you so much. And what you'll have done is, because you've partially stabilized some of the allicin, you will certainly be able to kill out a sore throat or anything like that really, really easily. So that's a really simple, cheap cure for a sore throat. Okay, if it's a little bit more serious than that, then obviously I would sanction people to go on to the Alli-C product, which is, as we said, it's stabilized allicin with vitamin C. Oh, sorry,
yeah,
vitamin
I
want
to let people know also, if you go to excellentthings.com, that's one of our main websites. Just yesterday I put information up on it, how you can get it. So if you're interested in purchasing the Alli-C directly, you can just go to excellentthings.com. Look on the left-hand side under supplements. It's under garlic. And you can go there. There's information that tell you how to get it.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
Yeah, and also while you're on Blog Talk Radio, if you're listening live over the internet, underneath my picture on the left, there's a little link that says follow. If you click on that, you'll get notifications when we do classes like this that educate people on various natural products. Back on the diabetic thing, I just wanted to make this point while we're talking about the diabetic issue, is that if you are a diabetic now and you are taking insulin in some form or another, if you decide to do this, you need to pay attention to your blood sugar levels because this may have an effect. You may not need as much insulin, so you know you need to watch what you're doing there and be careful. So, that's correct, right?
Yeah, that's quite right. I mean, from my own personal point of view, as I said, it hasn't really had any dramatic effect on my blood sugar personally. But the reason I take it is to stay clear of infection and to help my cardiovascular system because my risk is so much greater than an ordinary individual without diabetes. So there are real genuine benefits with stabilized allicin. And the key thing about it is that you can take it all year round. There's no need for a break like there is with some natural supplements. You know, you can take this literally every single day of the week. And I think if people are thinking that this stuff is so powerful, if one capsule is the equivalent to 35 cloves of garlic, is it safe? The answer to that is an emphatic yes, it definitely is. We had to do some safety and toxicology testing for our medicines agency over here, and basically the net result of that, you won't believe this, Donna, you can actually take 500 capsules in one dose, in one go, and that will be perfectly safe. Now, you couldn't possibly manage that number, I'm sure, but just should give people the security that it's perfectly safe. It's not going to do anything detrimental to your body, but of course, you know, there's absolutely no reason why you can't take bigger doses, and certainly patients with MRSA or resistant infections like candida, thrush, chest infections, you know, the sort of things that bother people for years and they never manage to achieve full health and well-being, then some of those patients will need to take up to 10 caps per day for maybe a 2 to 3 to 4 week period. And by that time, the Ali-C is so good that it should have basically cleansed the system of infectious organisms. And then I would recommend that patients go down to a what we would call a maintenance dose of 1 to 2 caps per day, just to keep that immune system protected. I mean, I've looked at it now under dark field microscopy. I'm sure you know what that is. So you look at the blood in intimate detail. You can look at the red cells completely and the plasma. And I can see that within 10 minutes of dosing with the Ali-C product, you can see incredible benefits to the red blood cells. You can see the plasma cleaning up. You can see the white cell activity improving quite significantly. And we've discovered over the last few years that allicin seems to stimulate the production of CD4 T cells in the immune system. And as I'm sure you know, those are the killer cells that your immune system needs to produce when you are being challenged by a microbe or an infection or an infectious organism. So, you know, we're really attacking infectious disease from several different directions here. And I think that's one reason it's being so successful, is that it doesn't give them a chance to breathe. And the other point that I forgot to mention about the antibiotics, it's really important, as I'm sure you know, when you take a course of antibiotics for an infection, they will kill out the bad bugs, but they will also kill out the good bugs. You know, your lactobacillus, your acidophilus, your bifidobacteria. Ali-C doesn't do that. Garlic doesn't do that. It has this ability to determine a difference between good and bad bacteria. Without going into too much technical detail, I can tell you that good bacteria release rather different proteins and enzymes than do the bad bacteria, and it seems that the allicin can differentiate between these proteins and enzymes, and consequently some are deregulated in the bad bugs and destroyed, and some are left alone in the healthy bugs, like the lactobacillus. The other good thing about healthy bacteria in our gut is that they also have an extra coating anyway, so it's more difficult for, well, for anything to attack them, essentially, but unfortunately antibiotics do wipe them out. And once you've been through a course of antibiotics, one of the commonest problems that you end up with is, believe it or not, a fungal infection. And that's because the antibiotic destroys the digestive system so quickly that it becomes a wonderful breeding ground when you're eating food that may have sugar or fat in it. It's a fabulous breeding ground for Candida, albicans, and various other species. And Ali-C is one of the best products we've ever seen, and I've experimented on hundreds of different natural extracts for Candida, and Ali-C is probably one of the best I've ever seen. So it's a very good choice for ladies who are suffering, you know, with bloating and maybe a discharge or the classic white tongue, you know. Those sorts of ladies will do really, really, really well.
Well, that's a big deal. And so it also, in addition to being antibacterial, it's antifungal. So like toenail fungus, athlete's foot.
Yes, absolutely. Well, there is a gel form as well, which is used topically. That's just aloe vera, which I'm sure you'll know all about, and allicin combined. And that can be used from head to toe, literally. So it can be used for anything from acne to warts, because what a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of skin problems that can't be cleared up quickly and easily are suffering from what's known as a secondary infection. And that means that they're infected with a bacteria. The bacteria, 9 times out of 10, is their own bacteria, but it comes from their nose. And it's estimated in lots of epidemiological surveys and screening programs across the world that 1 in 3 people carry Staphylococcus aureus in their nose. And even worse, if you're a healthcare worker, like a doctor or a nurse or a cleaner in a hospital, then it's as much as 1 in 2 who carry Staphylococcus aureus. Now, it's okay, it likes you, you like it, it's not dangerous in that situation, but if you go on, let's say you're a nurse and you go into a care home and you sneeze in the patient's room, you're known as a cloud carrier. So first of all, you've sneezed out the virus if you caught a cold, which happens to a lot of people, obviously, but you also sneeze out your Staphylococcus aureus.
Right.
And that, unfortunately, gets onto the bed linen. It gets onto the patient's hair, their clothing. It gets onto the catheter, the drain, the Hickman line, the intravenous line. Maybe there's a stitched wound there. And there's nothing more that Staph aureus likes than to infect a site. So let's say you've got a simple case of acne. What happens there is that Staph aureus migrates from your nose, comes down onto the acne pimples, and basically starts to cause a secondary infection. So it doesn't really matter what you're buying from the chemist or the drugstore, and let's face it, a lot of young people will go to the drugstore first rather than the health store, and they'll buy, you know, pads and wipes and lotions and potions, all of which are supposed to help acne and reduce the overproduction of sebum, but none of those products, not one single one of them, can kill Staphylococcus aureus. So therefore, quid pro quo, if you've got an agent like allicin where you can kill out the secondary infection, then the underlying symptomatology, your acne, your eczema, your psoriasis, your rosacea, all of those things will improve once you've killed out the secondary infection. And that's another massive use of the gel and the capsules, because I'm sure you'd agree with this. We always say heal from within as well as healing from without.
Absolutely.
So if you take the opportunity to buy the gel, use that topically, but always, always back it up with capsules to make sure that you're healing the systemic circulation and clearing the systemic circulation of any underlying infection and normalizing the cell turnover of the immune system, because remember, we said that the allicin has quite a significant impact on the immune system. So for something like psoriasis, for example, one of the major causes is an overproduction of cells. They just turn over so quickly that they produce, live for a few days, and then die off. And that's why you get all this debridement and these plaques. And that tends to clear up really, really quickly if you use a combination of gel and capsules together. And really, I get some of the best testimonials we've ever had from patients with psoriasis and eczema. And I have one in today with a lady in this country who'd just been using our stuff for rosacea, which is a very, very difficult condition to treat. So we really are breaking new ground every day with stabilized allicin, and some of the stories we get really are quite fantastic.
So tell us a few stories.
Well, I've got one here that I always like to talk about. It's up in Canada, actually. It's a charity who go to Haiti every few months because of the problems that country suffered a few years ago.
Yes.
And they have major problems over there with E. coli infection.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
Because obviously the sanitation wasn't very good, and these patients were suffering dramatically, and quite a lot were dying. And basically they started using stabilized allicin at 6 a day, and within 5 days, the vast majority of patients are healed completely and cured.
Wow.
And they also now use it as an anti-malarial as well, because one thing we've noticed over the years, and we've even had a paper published, believe it or not, in what's known as the European Journal of Mosquitology. It's a crazy name. But basically it shows that mosquitoes, when they come in to bite, you know, they put the proboscis into the skin, and then immediately they inject a chemical to thin the blood so that they can feed more efficiently. Well, interestingly, when they come in to bite a patient who's on Ali-C, the proboscis goes in, but immediately the mosquito can smell or taste the allicin in the bloodstream, and before it's had time to inject the chemical, it basically withdraws and flies away to bite somebody else. So it's a very, very effective treatment for preventing mosquito bites, tick bites, which, of course, are a major problem now in the Western world. And you may or may not be familiar, but we've just had a paper. It's not fully published yet, but it's been reported now significantly on Lyme disease. And again, in America, apparently Lyme disease is the fastest growing infectious disease in the country. And that, of course, is transmitted by...
Go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that, because I know it is such a devastating thing that's happening. So, yeah, tell us about it.
Well, basically, it's transmitted by a tick bite. If you know when you've been bitten, get the tick off quickly and put gel over the wound immediately. So keep the gel in your pocket when you go out walking in the woods or near water. But as soon as you've done that, get onto the capsules urgently. In the last, the trial that's been completed was on 11 chronic Lyme disease sufferers. So once it's in your bloodstream, you can suffer for years, and it basically completely debilitates you. Quite often, you can't even get out of bed to get up and go down and have breakfast. It's certainly virtually impossible for these people to hold down a job. It's also very, very difficult for their carers, because sometimes they literally cannot move from the bed, but of course they still need looking after. And these 11 chronic sufferers were what's known as IgG positive for Lyme disease. So they were subject to a whole series of tests. And basically, at the end of the 8-week study period, they used lots of water. Rehydrating is very good news. They used a multivitamin and a multimineral, but they used the allicin as their antibiotic. And all of these patients went from IgG positive for Lyme to IgG negative. And that's the first time for these patients in years.
Wow.
And the results it was tremendous, because they also, their lives have been turned round, and that's the sort of thing that this stuff can do.
Oh, there's so many people suffering from that, and that's like miraculous good news. That's astonishing.
And so also, of course, it's often confused with chronic fatigue syndrome as well. And I think you may do you have it called ME over there in America?
Yes, both.
Yes, so they're all basically autoimmune diseases where there's something in the bloodstream, maybe a virus or a bacteria, could be either or both, that lays dormant for a number of weeks, months, or even years, and then when the conditions are right, it will just suddenly increase by trillions overnight, and you will become really suddenly really rather ill. That includes things like tuberculosis as well. And we've had a few tests done on multi-drug-resistant TB strains, and they are also very, very sensitive to allicin. So far, we haven't really found a bug that we can't kill yet, but
these bugs
are very clever. So, you know, we keep testing every single day, expecting one to suddenly come back and not be sensitive. But so far, touch wood, as we say, or knock on wood, we've been okay.
So what about something like hepatitis?
Oh, I get asked that question a lot. It's an area where we probably should be doing some work, really. We've never done any controlled clinical work on hepatitis A, B, or C. but obviously, because it's a viral disease, allicin, we know, can kill things like vaccinia virus. That's a smallpox virus. It can kill Epstein-Barr virus. Obviously, it can kill rhinoviruses. We suspect that hepatitis.
So rhinoviruses, that's sinusitis.
Yes, exactly.
Rhinoviruses are sinus infections, right?
Exactly, yes. Yeah, well,
okay.
Johns Hopkins, your university medical school, suggests that actually sinusitis is almost certainly a mixed infection, partly viral, partly fungal. So the problem is when you go to a doctor, he'll give you an antiviral or an antifungal. He won't give you both because they're not really meant to be prescribed together. But the really cool thing about the allicin is that it doesn't matter. It can kill funguses and viruses. So for sinusitis, it's a remarkable treatment. You take the capsules, 3 a day, continuously, because sinusitis reinfects constantly. But what you also do is squeeze a little bit of gel up each nostril and squeeze it up as high as you can get it. That will then get into the sinus cavities and kill out the infectious organism. Great for sinusitis. It's also really good for glue ear or ear infections, where you put a couple of drops of the gel into one ear. But what we've discovered is that you must also treat the other ear. And the reason for that, believe it or not, this is quite remarkable, but it's some work that I'm involved with at the moment with Queen Mary's Hospital in London. We've shown that bacteria do something called quorum sensing. And what that means is they actually communicate with each other. It's amazing. But they use a series of biochemical signals which allow the bacteria to build up and move away from the area where they're being challenged or attacked. So let's say you had an ear infection in the left ear. They would then basically see what you were using to attack them, build up their strength, and then migrate over to the other ear.
That's amazing.
So you need to treat both ears. And this is all now going into the press, where there's been several papers published on this quorum sensing ability of bacteria. And that gives us a clue as to why they're so clever and can avoid attack from antibiotics. And that really is pointing us towards looking at other natural compounds like allicin that we know have antimicrobial activity. So I think, you know, as I've read some of your own websites clearly show, the time for natural medicine is coming, definitely. It's already here, fortunately.
It is, and people are
more
choosing.
And more popular.
People are choosing on their own, you know, and as I stated.
Exactly.
Well, we were trying to get you on the broadcast. We have that right. We have a right to educate ourselves and make adult choices regarding things that are readily available over the counter. And this is one of the most potent, most effective products out there. You can go in your kitchen and get garlic. You know, if you're in an emergency situation and you don't have a pill form, go get it. You know, used to be, I would recommend PureGuard to people. It was the most potent at that time, but PureGuard is just very, very mild compared to this. I think there's like, in a one capsule of Pure Guard, there's like 10 milligrams of the active ingredient, and in the Alice, there's, what, 270 milligrams?
300, actually.
300, you know, so we're talking...
300, yeah, but the,
you know, this,
you,
this
you raise a very, a very important point there, just for 1 minute, if I could say.
Yeah.
Powder products like Pure Guard, they rely on your body manufacturing some allicin. And
right.
Unfortunately, my group in the UK and other groups in America, Canada, Australia, and Germany have proven beyond reasonable doubt that these products actually do not release any allicin, because unfortunately, when they get down into the stomach, your stomach acid seeks out and irreversibly destroys the enzyme alanase that we talked about at the top of our discussion.
Right.
And
right.
if you don't have any enzyme, then the alliine, the other sulfur chemical, cannot be converted to allicin. So it's not a surprise that products like that just would not work. And in
they
fact,
just don't work.
Garlic powder products, garlic oil products, and aged garlic products have absolutely no data whatsoever on treating infection.
Yeah.
Allicin is unique in that respect, and stabilized allicin is the way forward in terms of treating infection.
And that's the point I wanted to make. I want people to know that they can't just run down and get any old garlic product off the shelf. They're not the same. It's just completely, entirely different species, and you're wasting your time. So don't do that.
Right.
Do not do that. You know, the one I wanted to talk about, we've only got like 8 minutes left. This has gone by so fast. But irritable bowel syndrome, how can garlic help that?
Well, irritable bowel syndrome is a complex disease. It's something that has to be managed very carefully. But a lot of these digestive conditions are obviously caused by an imbalance in the flora and fauna in the digestive system itself. If you think about it, what we do to our bodies is we take in all sorts of things, some of which are good for us, many of which are not very good for us. And all of that has a direct impact on the digestive system. And indeed, as soon as you start eating any food or taking any drink, then the cardiovascular system responds immediately as well. So does the central nervous system, and obviously the immune system does. So all body systems are controlled by what's going on in the gut. And when the gut is out of balance, these types of conditions like irritable bowel, diverticulitis, colitis, Crohn's, food intolerances, they all cause major problems for people. The really cool thing about allicin is it's like one of your SWAT squads. It'll get into the digestive system, it'll kill out the bad boys, it'll allow the good bugs to keep replicating, and in fact, it'll help them to replicate faster by killing out the bad boys, and that basically brings back the digestive system to what's known as a state of eubiosis or balance. And when your digestive system is balanced, then you are far, far less likely to suffer from irritable bowel or diverticulitis or colitis or Crohn's. Now, that doesn't mean it won't happen, but if you stay on the allicin permanently, then it's far, far less likely for you to have a recurrent problem with your bowels. And I would also always countenance a good quality probiotic as well. I always think they are very useful, provided you find a good quality one. I prefer multi-strain to single strain, because in your gut there are something like 400 different species, and if you put in one strain, it gets lost really quickly. If you put
Absolutely.
In 5, 10 or more strains, it's better oriented and gets absorbed that much faster.
Yes, and if those of you who have been listening to our broadcast know that our previous broadcast, we talked about cultured foods for helping to restore the balance of the gut, and so you might want to listen to that program if you haven't already. Also, I know you mentioned earlier that garlic helps the immune system by increasing the natural killer cells. Are those not also involved in keeping cancer at bay in our body?
They are. Yes, yes, of course they are. Now, you may or may not know, but garlic is actually a recommended anti-cancer food in the United States.
Yes.
One of your main cancer journals published a big review about 15 years ago to show that certain agents that garlic could release were definitely anti-cancer. These were compounds that were known as dialyl disulfide and dialyl trisulfide. And interestingly, when you take stabilized allicin, the allicin gets into the bloodstream, and over the forthcoming 24 hours, it breaks down into those sulfur chemicals and a few others, of course. So we are now looking very successfully at various types of cancer, like non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, for example, where there does appear to be activity. I can't go any further than that because we haven't published any work yet. But certainly people are finding that they can rebuild their CD4 T-cell count, their immune system very quickly, and it's definitely a good thing to look at if you're worried about that particular scenario.
Well, we only have a few minutes left. I just want people to know that garlic is good for bed sores. It's good for arthritis, for ringworm, for things like shingles, warts, dandruff, food poisoning, gingivitis, hay fever, head lice, impetigo. It just goes on and on and on and on. And I highly recommend that you research this more in your own private time and consider preventive medicine, you know, something that's powerful against bacterial infections, powerful against cancer, strengthening to you cardiovascularly, helps the digestive system. We're talking prevention here, and I can tell you from personal experience that preventive medicine is so much easier and so much more pleasant than trying to play catch-up. Once these things have attacked you, it's more difficult to get rid of them than it is to keep them away in the first place. So we try to get people to think proactively and to think preventively. And Peter, thank you so much for your time, for calling us all the way from the UK and sharing with us and being so generous and gracious with your knowledge. And thank you so much for dedicating your time in your personal life to this
doing these studies. Well, thank you. It's been a delight. I really enjoyed our discussion, and hopefully it's been very wide-ranging, and I'm here again if you need me. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I just want to invite people to look around. Peter's written books. Go and find them. Increase your knowledge on this. They're available everywhere easily. It's Peter Josselin, J-O-S-L-I-N-G. You can find it. Go to excellentthings.com to read up on this a little bit more. And stay tuned. We have a number of programs coming up. We did a program with Caroline Barringer on cultured foods. She's going to come back with us in a week and a half, something like that, and talk a bit more about that because there's just so much more information to cover. You can improve your health. You are adult. You're intelligent, you can learn, you can apply this, and you can save your own life, just like our friend Carolyn did with the MRSA from head to toe. The doctors couldn't help her. She helped herself. She became proactive. She educated. She made choices, and she did what they could not do, and you can do the same thing. Don't be fearful. Share this information with your family and friends. Get this word out. We're not here to just sell a garlic product. We're here to save lives. And this is the easy way to save lives. And so we are eager for this information to get passed on. Again, if you're listening live over the Internet, click the little follow link. That'll hook you up with me. I don't save your emails. I don't create a list. I don't sell your names. This is just enables you to have information when we do a new broadcast. So, again, thank you to Peter and everyone listening. God bless you guys, and we will see you next time.